Again, we'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. It's a beautiful evening out there. So we'll try and have you out of here by 8:15 or so. Anyway, we'll start by reading. I'm going to read quite a bit tonight because you can't go wrong reading the Bible. So we're going to read in it John chapter 3. We'll start in at verse 1. We're here each Sunday night to preach the gospel, and the gospel is all about grace, and grace is undeserved. It's forgiveness, it's undeserved. So that, I always enjoy Amazing Grace, and it's even heard a lot on the radio and stuff. Sometimes they'll sing it at different sporting events and stuff. You'll hear them sing that. But anyway, that's what I was just enjoying. The gospel is all about the grace of God. We're all sinners, and God is a perfect God, so He requires sin to be dealt with and forgiven. And the Lord Jesus has done that. I guess most here tonight are very familiar with the gospel. Anyway, we'll start in here. This is talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And so verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He probably came at night because he was proud. He didn't want people to see that he was having anything to do with this Jesus, because Jesus was, he was going to end the law. People didn't have to live by the law anymore because Jesus was going to die. So, he said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now God had, the Lord Jesus had done a lot of healing at this time, and a lot of the people came to him if they had problems in their family. Some of them would come to him and tell them, "My brother done this," and the Lord Jesus had wisdom like this world had never seen. Even Solomon didn't have the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. It always amazes me that some of the disciples, like Judas Iscariot, spent so much time with the Lord Jesus, and yet he didn't seem to realize who the Lord Jesus was. So Jesus answered him and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So each of us is born on our birthday. We celebrate how many years we've been on this earth. But Jesus is telling him here now, you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I don't know, born of water, some people think that's baptism, but I don't know what that means. Maybe that's your first birth is what I was wondering. Born of water and of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So that means the wind blows wherever it wants to blow. And thou canst not tell thereof. So you don't know where it came from. He's saying you don't know where it's going. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believed not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And then he tells them here, this is prophesying of his death, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. So he's speaking about himself. He's saying, I must be lifted up too, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then I was going to, the girls were saying they've never heard me tell my testimony before. So verse 16 was the verse that I always go back to. I was a ripe old age of 8 when I got saved. And I was brought up, my parents were both saved. I was the second of 4 children. I have an older sister and 2 younger brothers. And so my mother and father were saved before I was born, and before they were married, they had both trusted Christ as their Savior. And all of my grandparents were saved. My grandfather on my mother's side wasn't saved till he was 81. So that nobody can be too old to be saved. Nobody can be too young to be saved. And so I was brought up, always known my whole life that the Lord Jesus died for us and that God loved us. And we were brought to the gospel meetings every Sunday night. If there was gospel series, we'd travel for a ways. And Sunday morning we came to remember the Lord. I didn't understand anything of what they were doing up in the circle at that time, but I certainly enjoy it now. But so I never really got into too much stuff, especially before I was saved when I was only 8. I remember wondering what salvation was all about, why they made such a big deal about it as a young boy. And so one night Uncle Albert was preaching out at the little hall in Springfield West. That's Hazen's dad. And Uncle Albert used to have a certain way he preached, and he was. I tried to remember today, and I meant to look it up where he was talking about. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and you were not saved, and so that bothered me quite a bit. So it was the summer was ended. I don't know the date I was saved, and that always kind of made me embarrassed to get baptized during the meeting, because I thought they had to have a date when I was younger. That doesn't matter now, but I know it was late August or early September, because we were going back to school. I don't think we had been back in school, but the summer was ending and the harvest was well underway, and I still wasn't saved. So anyway, I remember I always loved John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's their next verse here, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that was a verse that I learned very young. I don't know if I ever remember not being able to quote that verse. But anyways, that was I remember leaving the meeting that night and thinking, you know, maybe the Lord will come tonight. Because we were always told that the Lord could come at any minute. And it was, I remember even back then, people saying, the Lord, the world can't get much worse. And that's still what we think tonight, is the world can't get much worse. But it's gotten a lot worse since 1984. Everybody will be thinking how old I am, but 1984, I was 8 years old. So we left the Gospel Hall out in Springfield West, and we were going out the Ramsey Road, and used to be a ball diamond on the right-hand side. There was a bunch of them in there playing ball, and I just remember when we were going by there thinking, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And I just thought, well, I believe that. I've always believed that, but that night I made it mine, and so that it was a very simple conversion, but that used to trip me up quite a bit that it was that simple, and I wondered years later. I wondered, did I believe the right thing, or did I believe enough? But then, many years later, it was actually the gospel series that Kevin McNeil was saved in, maybe Dale Burden, I forget, but Scott McLeod was talking, and he was preaching one night, and he was saying, and it gave me, it made me sure, he said, when you go down to that Confederation Bridge, it wasn't very old at that time, the Confederation Bridge, he said, you go on the bridge, and he said, the bridge takes you across, but it's your faith that puts you on the bridge. And so that was, then I realized that believing was no part of my salvation. It was who I had believed on and the finished work. And so now I always look at Romans chapter 10. And I know lots of people have been saved through this verse too. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that was what I done that night. I believed on the Lord Jesus, and it's nothing to do with my believing, or how bad I was, or how much it changed me, or any of that. It's that I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And anyone that's here tonight, is you're born in sin. We're all born in sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're Adam's race, and we're somehow our sin has to be answered for before we go into eternity, whether we drop dead or don't wake up some morning. All of us are born to die. That's the end for every one of us is death. Or if the Lord comes, like I was scared of as a little boy, if the Lord comes before we die, then some of us will be taken right up in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be gone to be with the Lord, and we'll forever be with him in heaven. And that's a great, great thing. And that's what the gospel is really not. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to rejoice in, that the Lord Jesus loved us, and he left heaven, came into this world, lived as a perfect man, proven that he was the Son of God. And like we were talking about, he was nailed upon that cross up on that hill where everyone could see him. His blood was shed, his body was torn to pieces. The Bible tells us that he hardly even resembled a man when they were done torturing and beating him. And that was to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. And when he was ready, he laid down his life. He gave his spirit to God, and his body was put in the grave. But he's not dead tonight. The third day when they went to that tomb, they found it empty. And he has risen. And then the disciples watched him as he went up into heaven. And he told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. So I guess that's pretty well the end of what I have to say tonight. We'll speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for your Son once again. Thank you that he ever loved us and that he died for us. And we thank you tonight that we can come here and we can make sure that everyone in this building realizes that there is salvation for them. And anyone else that hears the message, nobody's too bad, nobody's too good for God. And we just pray that you'll bless your word wherever it goes forth tonight. And we'd remember them down at the tent. And we just pray for your help as we go home tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.